Blog Talk Radio.
Nehemiah 8 and 6, and Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen. Amen. Lifting up their hands, they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. When we receive a word from the Lord, our answer should be, Amen. Let the church say, Amen. Let the church say, Amen. Let the church say, Amen. God has spoken. So let the church say, Amen. Yeah. Let the church, let them say amen. If you believe the word, let the whole church say amen. God has spoken. So let the church say amen. Lift your hands, lift your hands. God has spoken. So let the church say amen. No. Thank you, Lord. God has spoken. So let the church say
God has spoken.
Well, well.
the church say? Let the church say.
Today in the morning, midday, or evening. but then about any other discipling of the Christian life. You know, most of us understand what is involved in witnessing, in church membership, in giving, and in serving. But when it comes to the noblest thing called the quiet time, many people find themselves baffled. You know, this was my situation as a teenager. I trusted Christ many years ago. I knew I was supposed to read my Bible daily and spend time in worship and prayer, but I wasn't quite sure how to do it. Fortunately for me, some mature Christian that's gone on to be with the Lord gently instructed me. During my first year, as I was going through, I had found that quiet time, working into that quiet time with the Lord Jesus. And this matured adult encouraged me by their example. So let's begin today with the question, why have a devoted life or a devotional life? I know some of you say, well, why we ever have a devotional time? Well, why take every single day to read the word? A lot of you all say that. Why should we worship God? Because you should. And pray? Because you sure should. Let's get one thing clear from the start. We don't do it only because it is an obligation, but because it is an opportunity. You know, once you make your daily quiet time only an obligation, you have robbed it of being a blessing and have turned it into a potential burden. You know, more Christians go on guilt trip over their undisciplined and discipling prayer life than perhaps any other personal problem they may have. God wake you up at 12. First thing you think you're supposed to get up, eat something, turn the TV on, or why am I woke? Or you'll fall back on and say, there ain't nothing but the devil kept me woke. No, that was God trying to get your attention. He wanted to have that quality, intimate, quiet time with you. Everybody is asleep, phone's not ringing, nobody's knocking on the door. So he said, let me wake up, as an example, using Billy, using Sadie. Let me wake them up and let them know I want to talk to them tonight. I want to talk to them this afternoon. I want to talk to them this morning. That's your quiet time with the Lord. You know, spending time daily with Christ in the word and prayer should be an experience to enjoy and not an event to endure. Imagine a newly engaged fella saying with a grown, well, I have a date this evening, and I have to spend at least 3 hours with Lucy. Or picture a child lamenting the fact that grandma and grandpa are coming for a visit. Just think about that, you all. Two words have rescued me from devotional, doodrome, reality, and relationship. You know, the material world around us appears to be the real world, but it is not. You know, the world is passing away. John wrote in 1 John 2 and 17, Paul reminded the Corinthians that the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And you can go to 2 Corinthians 4 and 18 and read what thus said the word. You know, the Bible world is the real world. When you spend your time alone with the Lord, you are in contact with reality. The things that matter most, the things that will last. But you are also building a relationship. And in building that relationship, you are building your own character and ministry. Just think about that a few minutes. What is your relationship with Christ? Had you thought about it? Or do you have a relationship with Christ? You know, Jesus warns us, without me, him, you can do nothing. You can't do nothing without God. And you know, when you think about it, when you go to John 15 and 5, the word of God say, if we abide in Christ, then we can be fruits for his glory. Your relationship with Jesus Christ is the most important single relationship in your life. Everything else flow out from it. Excuse me. Just think about that. Your relationship with Jesus Christ is the most important single relationship in your life. It's more important than mother, father, sister, brother, husband, children. You know, if you would just keep in mind what your devotional life means to him, it will encourage you. He longed for our feeling and our fellowship. He wants to share his life with us. If Jesus Christ was living in a house up the street from you, and if his doors were always open, you would rush up to the street to visit him. But he is even closer to you than that. Just think about that for a few minutes. If Jesus Christ was living in a house up the street from you, where you live at right now, wherever you live in the United States, and if his doors were always open, just think about it now, you would rush up the street to visit him. But here he is, right here with you each and every day. You don't have to run no way. He is even closer to you than that going down the street. Of course, your daily devotion time also means something to you personally. You need it. We all do. I dreamed of thinking of what our daily life would be like if we fail to start the day in the throne of grace. My morning starts between 12 and 3. I'm up the rest of the day. I'm having that time with the Lord Jesus Christ. Life is something different and sometimes difficult, even when we do cultivate a satisfying, quiet time. What would be like if we ignored him completely? Just think about it. If you ignored God, all the things you want God to do for you, and you ignored him, You know, we may not realize it, but our daily devotional life also means something to others. We certainly ought to be easier to get along with if we have spent time alone with the Master in the morning. The family that prays together stays together. But it is also helpful if the members of the family learn how to pray alone. You know, corporate worship is only as good as what each person brings to it. And that means each of us must spend time alone with the Lord. You know, when the Old Testament priests burned the incense at the altar, a picture of prayer, just picture a prayer going forward, according to Psalms 141 and 2. And I'm going to turn over that, or right over there, so you know exactly what Psalms 141 is saying. And the word of God says in 141 and 2, let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. You know, if you and I are taking time daily to meet the Lord, others will know it, while our lives will show it. You know, you can be sure that your friends and family knew about it, for he carried with him the fragrance of that expression. My. How then do we go about setting up a satisfying devotional life? I'm glad you asked. We know that this daily experience is important to the Lord, to us, and to others. But what steps do we take to make it work? Again, two words have helped me: habit and system. That means you have to become in a habit of praying, of meditating, of setting aside a time for the Lord each and every day of your life. Start you a system on when you're going to do this here. You're not going to let anything interfere with your intimacy time with God. Today I ask you again, what is your relationship, or what type of relationship do you have with our Lord Jesus Christ? You know, in our free society, the word habit is not often heard. If it is, some Christians is show to sneer. Legalize. I thank God for good habits. They save me time and energy all day long. You and I are in the habit of bathing, eating, brushing our teeth, and perhaps doing a dozen other things, yet nobody accuses us of being legalistic, who are caught in a trap. There are many decisions in the course of a day that are made for us by habit. We don't argue, we act. You know, once you get into the habit of spending time daily with the Lord, you will have won 90% of the battle that you struggle with from day to day. I don't know what the best time of day is for you. I like to start my day with the Lord. But shift workers may prefer a different schedule, depending on how you work. You know, mothers who must get their children off to school early in the morning may find that their quiet time goes better after the uproar has ceased. Today, find a quiet time in your business schedule. Set a time every day for God to read your word. Get clarity. Get your marching instruction from the Lord for that day, so you don't have to go out half-cocked not knowing what your assignment is. You'll be knowing what your assignment is before you leave home. And if it's not, he surely will give it to you on your way down the road. He will say, I need you to do this, this, and this. I need you to go here, here, and here. He's going to give you your assignment. That's when you're in tune with Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, when you are taking time to reverence God in your quiet time. You know, you and the Lord must work out the schedule. You know, one of the worst things you can do is try to imitate some great saint who arose at 4 each morning and spend 3 hours in prayer. That may not be your style. So go by what God gives you. Don't try to imitate somebody else. Go what God has given you, and you won't go wrong. Along with habits, you see, you need a system. People who open the Bible any place and read what they open to are turning the Word of God into a book of magic. Would you read any other book that way? And those people who have favorite passage and read them over and over are making as great a mistake. Both groups are robbing themselves of the whole word of God. You know, all scriptures is inspired. All scriptures is profitable. And people are supposed to live by every word of God's. And you'll find that in Matthew's, the 4th chapter and the 4th verse. And the 4th chapter and the 4th verse say, "But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God." My. You know, as I read that, it is written, and it is written in this Bible. It's in the Word of God. It's in between these pages. If you haven't tore your pages or your pages got loose and fell out of your Bible, that every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God, you know, once again, you and the Lord must work out the system that is best for you. But I will make some suggestions today. I like to read through the Bible regularly, and I began in Genesis 1, Psalms 1, Matthew's 1, and keep reading. I may not read 3 complete chapters a day because sometimes the Spirit stopped me on one verse or paragraph, but there is still my pattern. You know, you may start reading one thing and God change it in ministry and take you somewhere else because he has a message for you. That's when you got a relationship with God. You have a connection. You're trying to get hooked up to the Lord. Would you excuse me a minute? And you know, as you do that, keep reading. The approach gives me a good balance of different portions of scriptures so that I don't feel bogged down in any one place. You know, there are a number of fine Bible reading calendars available. So ask your pastor or local Christian bookstore to recommend one. And the calendars worked out many years ago. You know, it's still one of the best. You know, a lot of places we get calendars and different things at the end of the year, beginning of the year, and a lot of them come with a calendar of prayers with scriptures that you can read the whole Bible in a year. Get one of those and start reading. Start you on a regimen. You know, I believe it is published today under the title Daily Bread. We get the Daily Bread. We get so many literatures now from different companies that we can take, read the scriptures that they give us, go to your Bible, your Concord, and look up words that you don't understand the meaning of. You know, we need a system, not only in our Bible reading, but so in our prayer life. You know, many churches publish weekly prayer lists, as well as missionary prayer lists that enable the members to intercede systematically for one another. I use several lists published by various mission boards. No need to be listless in our prayer. We can get them off individual prayer line. People can call us in and ask us for prayer. Excuse me. You know, as far as personal requests are concerned, I have divided them into several lists, one for each day of the week, plus a list that I use every day. From time to time, I revise these lists. What a delight it is to mark answers beside the question that the Lord has granted. You know, whatever you do, be systematic about it. Using prayer lists does not mean you are grieving in the spirit or preventing him from pressing you with a special burden, but the use of list means that your praying becomes precise and specified instead of, Lord bless the missionary. See, your prayers will change once you have a connection with God. You will no longer do the thing the same way you did them before. And you can keep a record of your spiritual transaction at the throne of grace. You know, the fact that some of the greatest Christians I have ever met have used such a system is proof enough to me that the system must work. The older I get, the more my memory tickles me and tricks me. I find that I must write down prayer requests or else they will be forgotten. When someone gives you a prayer request, write it down. So when you go in your prayer closet, in your prayer time, in your quiet time with God, you can call these people's name out before the Lord. To be sure, there are dangers that must be avoided as we develop a satisfying devotional life. The first one, of course, is the danger of system and habit becoming routine. The devotional time can seem to be alive and yet be dead. How easy it is to read the assigned chapters and pray through the daily requests and still derive a little or nothing from the experience. I think I'll stop right there for a few minutes and put a song on.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just take it back a little bit. One, two, three, say. You might as well go on ahead and get your dance on. Jesus, be a man.
Around me.
Say,
be a man all around.
Come on. Jesus, be a vintage.
Jesus, be a
vintage. Be a vintage right now.
Be a
vintage right now.
Be a
vintage right now.
Be
a vintage right now. As I come and go. Are you my boogie to dance on? Come on. Be a vintage. Cause I need protection.
Protect.
Protection.
Protect.
Protection.
Protect.
Along the
protection.
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 Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Protection, build a fence all around me every day. You know, to be sure, there are dangers that we must avoid as we develop a satisfying devotional life. The first one, of course, is the danger of system and habit becoming routine. You know, habits without heart rapidly become routine. However, this danger is presented in any meaningful experience of life, including marriages, and much not prevent us from preserving and persevering in our spiritual exercise. You know, one way to keep your devotional time from degenerating into a mere routine is to make sure you keep it on a relationship base with the Lord. You are not reading a book or praying about needs. You are fellowshipping with the Son of God through the word and prayer. You know, keep it personal and intimate, and you will be less likely to lose the fears and leave your first love. Jesus is your first love, whether you realize it or not. Always be open and honest with God. He already knows what's going on, so why not be honest with him and open? Never pray anything that you really do not mean. Think about that. Don't get on your knees and start praying for things that you really don't mean now. Honesty, confession to the Lord that you are weary, that you have a headache and are having a difficult time meditating on the word. He knows and understands. If your favorite translation of the Bible has become so familiar to you that it no longer communicates God's truth, forcefully ask your pastor to recommend another translation for your devotional reading. Over the years, I have read through my King James Version many times, as well as several dependable modern translations. It has been an enriched experience. However, be aware of turning your devotional time into a spiritual Olympic. There is no special merit in reading a certain number of chapters or verses each day or in praying through a certain number of prayer requests. I remember one day a woman in church where I used to attend asked me to remember 27 unspoken requests. But I was never quite sure how to do it. We must take time to be holy, and this means chewing on the word of God and not gulping it down as though we were at a religious fast food restaurant. You know, when two people who love each other are spending time together, they don't look at the clock or count the number of words they use in their conversation. So, but when y'all ask to remember certain people in prayer, take your paper and pencil, jot it down. That way you have the person's name right, you have their request right. Because in the course of a day, you may be at the hospital praying, you might be at the nursing home praying, you may be at the jail, you may be at the prison. And someone may call you on the phone. So you need to have your list together. That way you know I'm praying for Mary for this particular problem. I'm praying for Billy for this particular situation he's going through. That way you can keep it in order. What about the use of a devotional book? Never use it as a substitute for your Bible reading. Read it after you have read God's word. And let the Spirit give you food from Scripture. You know, perhaps the most important thing is that we carry into the day the enrichment received in our devotional time. I have often had the experience in the morning of reading in my Bible just the words that I needed later that day. How many times God has given us guidance, confirmed decision, issued warnings, and granted promises just when I needed them most? Your Father knows what you need. And if you permit him, he will speak to you day after day through his words and tell you how he planned to make those needs. Besides routine and trying to set records, there is a danger of turning your devotional time into a Bible study time. Every believer needs to be and spend time seriously studying the Word of God, using the best help available. But the quiet time is not the time for commentaries, concordians, and comparing translation. To be sure, there is nothing wrong with investigating anything you read that puzzles you, but that is not the main purpose of the quiet time. That quiet time is that intimacy with God, that relationship that you're building with God each and every moment, every second that you're with him. You don't want to let him go. You know, I spent many hours a week in Bible study, but during my quiet time, I simply read the word and received it as though my Father was speaking to me personally. I asked the Spirit to lead me into the truth he wanted me to receive that day. If I do see a passage that can be developed into a message, I note it. But I don't spend the rest of the time preparing a sermon. Even a good thing like a new sermon outline can become a detour or a detour that might affect my personal relationship with the Lord. I know preachers take notes, evangelists, apostles, bishops, pastors. But as you get involved in a systematic and regular devotional time, you will learn by experience just what the Lord wants you to do. That's because you're taking that quality time with the Lord. You will learn by experience just what the Lord wants you to do. If you encounter some problems, consult with some of the matured believers in your church or chat with your pastor about it. There are really no spiritual problems, so somebody is not bound to have the answer. We all have went through something in this life that we can help somebody else with when they are faced with that problem or challenge in their life. If you find yourself getting careless and neglecting your quiet time, confess it to the Lord and start over again. You know, the victorious Christian life is a series of new beginnings. Over the weeks and months, your heart will be enlarged and your life so enriched that neglect of your prayer time will become a rare thing. In the day and the times that we live in, you all, we need prayer. We need that quality time and that quiet time with the Lord. You are faced with so many things, not just at home, but once you leave your house, you in hopes you come back. But before you leave, have that quality time, that relationship build up between you and Jesus. You know, in the Word of God, David's heart thirsted for God, as a panting deer thirst for water in the desert. Jacob would not let the Lord go until he had blessed him. He told him, you read it in the Word, God, I'm not going nowhere until you bless me. That's the way we all should be, every one of us. When we're in our quiet time talking with the Lord, we shouldn't let nothing interfere. Say, God, I'm not going nowhere until you answer me, bless me, or give me some assurance on what you want me to do, where you want me to go, what you want me to say. You know, Moses prayed to be privileged to see the glory of God. Even our Lord Jesus Christ rose up early in the morning that he may spend time with the Father in prayer. Now, if Jesus Christ did that, what about you and I? If the perfect Son of God needed to meet the Father each day, how much more do we need to meet him? You know, devotional time is a wonderful opportunity for us to please the Lord, grow in Christian character, and be of greater help to those who need help. and need each one of us. When, like Mary of Bethany, we spend time at the feet of Jesus, we are choosing that good part, which can never be taken from us. No matter what kind of work you have to do, what task, always rise up early in the morning. Have that quality time with the Lord. Spend that time with God. Don't let the telephone, put it on mute, cut it off, but you spend that time with God. If it's important, they'll leave a message. You can call them back when you come out of your quality time with God. God spend time with us. He have a lot of people that he can help during the day, which he do. But he take out from his busy schedule to answer every whim, doctrine, or whatever you have. He's coming to your beck and call. So why not be at Jesus? Why not let him be the Lord of your life today? Why not take out and have that quality time with the Master? I'm going to pray one more song.
I want your glory. Less of me and more of you is what I need. Show me your glory and show me your power. Less of me and more of you is what I need. Less of me,
less of me, and more of you is what I need.
Rejecting the love in your warm embrace, but I realize I need you more and more each day.
I need you more.
Oh, I need you.
I want your glory.
I want your glory.
Less of me,
and more of you.
I want to thank each and every one of you all that will listen to this broadcast today on spending time daily with Christ in the Word. And prayer should be an experience to enjoy and not an event to endure. Start taking that quality time to spend with the Lord. You would be so refreshed. Your day would go so much better, so much smoother. Start doing the things that God has called you to do. When he wake you up at 12 midnight, he wants you to pray. Have that commune. If he wake you up at 3, at the prayer hour, at 9, at 6, pray. Don't just pray for your household and no more. Pray for each and every person that you know. Because somebody is praying for you, whether you know it or not. So open up your heart and pray. Go to God in your quiet time. Get that relationship with him. Be encouraged to others. Pray for others. Be real with it. So that's the show for today, quiet time. Having a quiet time with your Savior. Building up your relationship with Jesus Christ. Not letting everything get before God, because you know you need him. If you don't need him this morning, you're going to need him this afternoon. If you don't need him this afternoon, you're going to need him for nightfall. During the night or for day in the morning, you're going to be calling on the name of Jesus. So why not have that quality time with him, where you spend with him? So when you go to him, he said, this is my child automatically. I got to come to his or her rescue. Because that's one thing. They spend quality time with me. They have that relationship. She and I, or he and I have that relationship that passes all understanding. I can do what they need to be done. So today, I want you all to have a wonderful day today. I know I came in on Friday. My computer was down on Wednesday, but it's back up. So I thought I would bring a different show on for today. Ending the week, quiet time. Learn how to have that quiet time with the Lord. And until next Wednesday, the beginning of the new week and a brand new month, please stay tuned, because we have another exciting topic and a show that will be coming for on Blog Talk from Joy and Peace Community Development Cooperation, better known as Joy and Peace Outreach. So please stay tuned. Come in. Don't hesitate. Come in. It's something I know you would like to talk about. Bye-bye.